tells us to put it on, that means it, that is an active decision. I am deciding to worship. Sometimes you feel like it and sometimes you don't, but you can decide to put on your garment of praise. And once you put it on, you won't be sorry. All my life, all I know, God's been good, good to my soul. Mountain high, valley low, I'm gonna sing wherever I go. All my life, all I know, God's been good, good to my soul. Mountain high, valley low, I'm gonna sing wherever I go. God is for me, not against me. I will hold to the plant he has for me. When I'm broken, he will fix me. I will call on the name of the Lord. All my life, all I know, God's been good, good to my soul. Mountain high, valley low, I'm gonna sing wherever I go. He's my heart song in my sorrow. He's my hope and my strength for tomorrow. When the storms rise all around me, I will call on the name of the Lord. All my life, all I know, God's been good, good to my soul. Mountain high, valley low, I'm gonna sing wherever I go. All my life, all I know, God's been good, good to my soul. Mountain high, valley low, I'm gonna sing wherever I go. I've got joy, joy, joy deep in my soul. I will sing, sing, sing wherever I go. All my life, all I know, God's been good, good to my soul. Mountain high, valley low, I'm gonna sing wherever I go. All my life, all I know, God's been good, good to my soul. Mountain high, valley low, I'm gonna sing wherever I go.
I've got joy,
I've got joy, joy, joy deep in my soul. I will sing, sing, sing wherever I go. All my life, all I know, God's been good, good to my soul. Mountain high, valley low, I'm gonna sing wherever I go.
Praise you, Lord. Praise your name, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Wherever you go, wherever we go, wherever we are, we can lift up the name of Jesus.
We worship the God who was, we worship the God who is, we worship the God who evermore will be. He opened the prison door, he parted the raging sea. My God, he holds the victory. There is joy in the house of the Lord, there is joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet.
We shout out your praise. There is joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place, and we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. We shout out your praise. We sing to the God who heals. We sing to the God who saves. We sing to the God who always makes a way. 'Cause he hung upon that cross, and he rose up from the grave. My God, still rolling stones away. There is joy in the house of the Lord. There is joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There is joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. We were the beggars. Now we're royalty. We were the prisoners. Now we're running. We are forgiven, accepted, redeemed by his grace. Let the house of the Lord sing praise. 'Cause we were the beggars, now we're royalty. We were the prisoners, now we're running free. We are forgiven, accepted, redeemed by his grace. Let the house of the Lord sing praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. We were the beggars, now we're royalty. We were the prisoners, now we're running free. We are forgiven, accepted, redeemed by his grace. Let the house of the Lord sing praise.
There is joy in the house of the Lord.
There is joy in the house of the Lord. There is joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There is joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. We shout out your praise. We shout out your praise.
Praise you, Jesus. Let's give the Lord a clap this morning. Lord, we worship your holy name. Oh, we bring you praise. We shout out your praise today, Lord Jesus. Glory to your name. Oh, we praise the name of Jesus. Oh, God. Father, we pray that you would cause the house of the Lord to be bursting with joy. Bursting with joy and praise and rejoicing and lifting up the name of Jesus. Oh, God, help us, Father. Lord, we pray that you would help us to shed off all the stuff of the week and that we'd be able to lift up your name and your voice and to rejoice in you. Praise your wonderful name, Lord. We give you thanks. Thank you, Lord. I searched the world, but it couldn't fill me. A man's empty praise and treasures that fade are never enough. Then you came along and put me back together. Every desire is now satisfied here in your love. Oh, there's nothing
better than you. There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing. Nothing is better than you. I'm not afraid to show you my weakness, my failures and flaws. Lord, you've seen them all, and you still call me friend. 'Cause the God of the mountain is the God of the valley, and there's not a place your mercy and grace won't find me again. Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing. Nothing is better than you. Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing. Nothing is better than you. You turn mourning to dancing. You give beauty for ashes. You turn shame into glory. You're the only one who can. You turn mourning to dancing. You give beauty for ashes. You turn shame into glory. You're the only one who can. You turn graves into gardens. You turn bones into armies. You turn seas into highways. You're the only one who can. You're the only one who can. Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing. Nothing is better than you. Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing. Nothing is better than you. You turn graves into gardens. You turn bones into armies. You turn seas into highways. You're the only one who can. You turn graves into gardens. You turn bones into armies. You turn seas into highways. You're the only one who can. You're the only one who can. You're the only one who can. Oh, Jesus, there's nothing better than you, Lord. Oh, nothing is better than you. Oh, there's nothing, Lord. Nothing, nothing, Lord. Oh, praise your name, Lord. Oh, praise your name. Praise your name. Praise your name, Lord. Praise your name, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I love you, Lord.
Oh, your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire and darkest night. You are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. I have lived in the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am I will sing of the goodness of God. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I surrender now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. I will sing of the goodness of God. You're good, Lord. You're good, Father. Oh, our God. You are faithful. You are good. You are faithful. You are good. Oh, holy God. Haramamandasha. Father, I thank you that you're good. Lord, you're good whether we see it, whether we feel it, whether we hear it. We know you're good. We receive it by faith. Sometimes we see it by sight, but mostly we receive it by faith. We proclaim today that you are good. We proclaim today that you are good. You are good over every situation in our heart, over in our life, every good thing, every difficult thing. You are good. Oh, Jesus, you're good. We proclaim your goodness today. It's because it's true. It's true. You are good. And your heart toward us is good.
Thank you, Father. Praise your name. Thank you, Lord. A thousand generations falling down in worship to sing the song of ages to the Lamb. And all who've gone before us and all who will believe will sing the song of ages to the Lamb. Your name is the highest, your name is the greatest, your name stands above them all thrones and dominions, all powers and positions, your name stands above them all, and the angels cry, holy, all creation cries, holy, you are lifted high, holy, holy forever. If you've been forgiven, and if you've been redeemed, sing the song. Walk in freedom, and if you bear his name, sing the song forever to the Lamb. We'll sing the song forever and amen, and the angels cry, holy, all creation cries, holy. You are lifted high, holy, holy forever. Hear your people sing, holy, to the King of Kings, holy, you will always be, holy. Your name is the highest, your name is the greatest, your name stands above them all thrones and dominions, all powers and positions, your name stands above them all. Your name is the highest, your name is the greatest, your name stands above them all thrones and dominions, all powers and positions, your name stands above them all, and the angels cry, holy, all creation cries, holy, you are lifted high, holy, holy forever. Hear your people sing, holy, to the King of Kings, holy, you will always be. Holy, holy forever. Your name is the highest. Your name is the highest. Your name is the greatest. Your name stands.
stands above them all. All thrones and dominions, all powers and positions, your name stands above them all. And the angels cry, holy, all creation cries, holy, you are lifted high, holy, holy forever. Hear your people sing, holy, to the King of Kings, holy, you will always be, holy, holy forever. You will always be, holy, holy forever. Oh, we sing to you, Lord. Oh, your holiness. Oh, Jesus. Coroparama. We praise your name, oh Jesus. Praise your name, Lord. Praise your name, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh Jesus, you are holy. Father, we thank you. We thank you that you are holy, and because you are holy, we can be holy. Oh, Jesus, thank you for the power of a changed life. Father, thank you that you are able to take the things in us that are not holy and make them holy. Oh, Jesus, and we cry out to you, holy, and as we do that, you change us into your image. Father, thank you. Thank you for your grace that extends to us. We give you glory and praise and honor. Oh, Jesus, because you're good. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. You know, when we worship and we sing, in services like this or on your own, what you're doing is you're joining with the worship that's already happening in heaven and that never ends. The scripture teaches that in heaven, the saints and the angels and are continually, the elders are continually falling down before him, casting their crowns and worshiping him. And you get the honor of taking part in that right now. We get to join them in the heavenly praises. Does that make you want to praise and worship God wherever you go? It's like, I want to be a part of that. That glorious thing that's happening in heaven all the time. And we get to participate in that. We get to bring praise and honor, bring that worship and our prayers, that incense that blesses God's heart. And we get to be part of that. Glory, glory, glory to his name. Thank you, Lord. I'd like to just mention, I received a very good report from our brother Tom Brazell on his visit. My wife got an equally encouraging text from Judy. Their trip is going well. They've made all their connections. The weather's been good. They've felt good. Their cars run well. They've been able to meet with just lots of people and be a blessing. We want to continue to lift
lift them up today and believe God to continue to use them where they are. Father, we thank you for our brother Tom and our sister Judy. Lord, we lift them up before you today as they travel. And Father, we miss them here, but we know that you have sent them to people who desperately need a word of encouragement, that need to see a cheerful face. Father, thank you that they even get to see some of their family and spend some time there as well. God, we pray that you would bless them, that you would let their car continue to run well, that you would just stretch those dollars, Lord, and that you would meet every need that they have on that trip, and that you would give them grace to fully complete their ministry. Father, they're about halfway at this point, and Lord, we pray that you would continue to anoint and use them. Bring blessing today. Father, today I want to not be mindful to remember to pray for the peace of Israel, Lord, and we lift up that war-torn country to you today. Father, as the conflict goes on, in the beginning it's easy to remember and to pray, and as it goes on, Father, sometimes I forget. I lift up that country to you. We know that Israel is the apple of your eye, Lord, and Father, we pray that you would bless them, that you would help them in this season. God, that you would bring an end to conflict and you would give them peace, Lord, over their enemies that would want to destroy them. But Lord, most of all, we pray that the people of Israel would find their Messiah. Help them to find their Messiah, Jesus, Lord. God, we pray that all of the laws and all of the things that they try to keep, help them to see that they all point to Jesus, Lord. Open their eyes, Lord. And we pray for the people who are persecuting them, that mighty conviction would come upon them, that they're not just persecuting Israel, they are persecuting God. The God they think they serve is a demon. And God, that you would help them to see that they are persecuting the living God and that they would repent. Lord, I pray for lots of conversions among Hamas and the enemies of Israel. God, that you would do it, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Are there any testimonies this morning? I figured, come on up, or I'll bring it to you if you prefer. And go ahead.
I was heading to Wellsville Friday morning, and there was nothing sounding in my car, and I was coming up over the overpass in Andover, and just past that, the plastic shield that's in your wheel well, mine come flying out of the fender and around the wheel as I was doing 55 miles an hour. I didn't lose any control, nothing. And I was able to get off the road, put my four ways on, get off the road. I just thank Jesus for his protection.
Angels watching over me. Is that song, Every Step I Take? Amen. Anybody else want to share this morning? I'd like to share with you, lots of you know that I've made a couple of trips down to see my brother in Texas. And one thing that I've been praying over is my niece, my brother's daughter, lovely girl, lovely family, and they're Christians, but they didn't have any fellowship. They weren't attending a church very often. And I was down there, I just spent as much time as I could ministering to them, but I'm praying that they would find a good church. The first trip down, the second trip, I thought, Lord, I'm praying over this, but I've got to encourage them to get into a fellowship. And when I went down there, my niece was all lit up, and she said, guess what? We found a church. We're so excited. I'm like, well, thank you, Lord. I didn't have to do any pushing. And I creeped their church because I'm always a little suspicious. I went online and I looked at it. I wanted to read their statement of faith, and it's a good church. I'm like, yes, thank you, Jesus. And the kid, their kids, they have two teenagers, and the kids said, yeah, we like this church. We want to go. We want to go there. And they went one week and they're like, hey, can we go again this week? They were so excited. And my nephew is a drummer. And he is a gifted drummer. Gifted. So much so that there are big names, if I mentioned them to you, of the 70s and 80s big bands with drummers that come through there. And he's gotten to play with them. And they were like courting him. He is really good. Well, he went to the church and the youth group found out that he played the drums and they said, oh, come play the drums with us. He's like, yeah, sure. Well, they found out how good he was. They said, no, we want you for the main service. So he started playing drums in their main service. And last week, a week and a half ago, the kids came back on Wednesday and my niece's daughter said, hey, you know what? I want to get baptized this Sunday. They're having baptism, and I really want to do that. And she was all excited about it. And my niece's son said, well, I didn't hear about that. Where did you sign up for that? I want to sign up. I want to get baptized too. And so last Sunday, they both got baptized, and I thought my niece had died and gone to heaven. She sent me these videos. Their grandfather, their Christian grandfather, got to baptize them. It was just an answer to prayers on every level, and my niece's son Parker, she said ever since he got involved in the church and he started playing drums, she said something has changed. All of a sudden, he has put aside all of his distractions. He said, I really want to focus on my schoolwork. I want to do my best. He decided not to play football next year because he wanted to be more involved in the church and play the drums and get involved in his music. She said, what has come out of this young man as he committed his life to the Lord is just something amazing. The transformation they're seeing in their daughter is just incredible. Don't give up praying for your loved ones. All of a sudden, this family that has been through, oh, I cannot tell you what they've been through. Been praying for a season of peace and blessing for them. They just put an offer on a house. It was a miracle. They've been living in this tiny place. How God ever did it. It's just incredible. Don't stop praying for your loved ones. God can do incredible, incredible things. And my brother Jim still doesn't exactly know where he is or why he is or what he is, but he's happy. And he loves to have me pray for him. So, you know what? God is good. God, we sang about it this morning. Don't doubt that God is good. He's always good. Sister Kathy, come and share about Operation Christmas Child. We're going to run the... Adam, there's a video. If you bring up the little Google Chrome at the bottom and drag that over into the window, we have a little video there. I think I forgot to tell you about that. That was one too many steps this morning. Oh, you found it. Now we'll have to go down, though. Kathy, help me not to click on the wrong one. Was it the first one?
Yeah.
It was the first, so that's where I had it. Yep, this one? I think it's this one, right? Are you saying yes? Okay, I hope she's saying yes. Oh, I think we fast-forwarded all the way to the end, and which is not what we wanted. Replay.
Around the world. But I'm glad you have what you have.
Tapu area decided to use the Operation Christmas Child gift box to reach children who are at risk.
Kalaban ako ang gift box na libaino. Nakano ako na kalaban sa regalo.
After they receive their gift boxes, they are then invited to a 12-lesson discipleship program, The Greatest Journey. We decided to have the greatest journey near right in the paradise. So it's kind of a joyful celebration every Saturday morning here. We speak with our hearts. You know that you hear them, they really speak with our hearts, thinking there is no more tomorrow.
The children not only come to know Jesus, but they grow in Jesus and they share it with their families and friends.
Glenn is very, very quiet person. He is so shy. He hides himself in his tricycle. These kids, they develop their self-confidence because they know that Jesus loves them.
Their attitudes have changed, their vocabulary has changed because they now have Jesus in their heart.
The kids will be the future leaders, the future pastors, not only in Iloilo, but throughout the Philippines.
They hear about Jesus, they know who God is, and they turn their life over to them. And it goes on and on. But it's kind of neat to think it wouldn't have happened without the shoebox. That never would have happened. As a matter of fact, Franklin Graham, I think, said it best. He said, "What a blessing it is when people come to Christ as children. But how can they hear this message without someone to tell them?" And that's our job. We're sending Jesus to them. And we don't even have to leave town. So what a blessing it is, what a blessing you've all been. We are having the soup for sales, soup for souls next weekend. We don't need any more soup. We've got a really good variety of soups. Some are gluten, some are gluten-free. Same with the desserts. So there's something there for everybody. And every cent that comes in through donations next week, every penny goes right into the shoeboxes. So this will be our third year for Soup for Souls. We have sent out probably about 150 boxes just from Soup for Souls. So hopefully you'll show up next week. We'll have a good time and we'll have a lot of good food.
Amen. If you have been around the Wellsville Full Gospel Church for very long, you will know that we've been doing Operation Christmas Child for a long time, a lot of years. And this year we sent out how many, Kathy? Was it?
We sent out 102.
102. And in other years, it's hovered right around that number. If we did that for 9 or 10 years, we could very well have sent 1,000 boxes around the world. And they change lives. So if you want to be involved in missions, and maybe you're not ready to jump in a plane and go to a foreign country, you can support this, and it's a wonderful way to reach kids, and to reach adults. It reaches lots of people.
Glory to God. So we'll be doing that next week. I encourage you to be here and get involved in that. Adam, you can go ahead and bring up that. Today we're going to be looking, if you have your Bible and you want to turn there, it's Hebrews chapter 12. We'll be beginning in verse 1. I like the look of this fellow. He's kind of running, but he looks like he's been running for a long time. He's got an old white beard, but he's still running. He's still going, and I like that. I hope that when I'm that age, that's me. And I'm still out on the road. I want to still be running. I'm doing everything I can to still keep up with my young kids, my young crazy kids who climb hills and mountains and they snowboard and ski. And I have to really work at it to stay in shape to be able to keep up with them. Last year we went out to where they were and I ended up, one of my sons is a rabid biker. I call him rabid because it's like he's, well, rabid. He'll go on 150-mile bike rides, just these insane rides. And he said, Dad, when you're here, we'll have to go on a ride. I said, baby's day out. I'm not going 150 miles. So the first time they took me, I said, we'll take you on a nice, easy ride. Three of my boys, Chris, Robert, and Greg, they all got me on a bike. And I had intended to train a little before we went, because, you know, they ride all the time. And I didn't get to. We spent the summer cleaning out, or half the summer cleaning out my mother-in-law's house, and I got there. Well, I'd been working out, but not on a bike, and oh, they took me on that first ride. 10 miles. For, to them, 10 miles is like, that's just a little run around. I'm dying. They're going up these hills like this. And they're kind of looking back at me. I'm down there and they're up there. I made it, though. I did it. And went on a couple more rides before we came back and played. Oh, we played pickleball and tennis and ran around. And they ran me all over the place. But it's important to be able to run with endurance, to keep going, and to persevere. And in the Christian walk, there is so much talked about in the scriptures about persevering. I love how this guy looks like he's persevering to me. I like that so much. Hebrews 12, 1 through 5. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off every encumbrance and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with endurance the race set out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such hostility from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Now, if we look back at the beginning, you'll notice verse 1, it says, therefore. And we've always been heard that when you see therefore, you need to find out what the therefore is there for. And the important thing to remember in reading this, when you get to chapter 12, is that in the original manuscript, there is no chapter 12. There is no chapter 12. It doesn't say chapter 12. It doesn't say chapter 1 or chapter 2. They do not exist in the original manuscripts. That's why when Jesus said, it is written in Isaiah, he didn't say, it is written in Isaiah 9 or 12. He didn't quote a chapter and a verse because they didn't have a chapter and a verse. They were put in later for our convenience so that we could find our way around in those scriptures, find chapters, find verses. So this is all connected to Hebrews chapter 11. And what is Hebrews chapter 11? We call it the Hall of Faith. And Hebrews 11, it refers to the faith. We're not going to take time to read it, but it starts out talking about the faith of Abel, who offered a better sacrifice than Cain. Enoch, who was taken, and he had the testimony that he pleased God. Noah, the faith of Noah, who built built the ark and endured in the face of all kinds of probably difficulty. Abraham and Sarah, their faith enduring, waiting and waiting until they were old for children. Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, who was sold into slavery and had to endure so much. Moses, Rahab, Gideon, Barak, Samson, David, the prophet Samuel, and all of the prophets. It goes through and it talks about all that these people endured, and it talks about how some of them suffered, gave their lives. They were went through all kinds of perils and difficulties because they were looking forward to something. They were enduring for a purpose and for a goal. And then we come to Hebrews chapter 12, and it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of these witnesses, who are we surrounded by? We're surrounded by Abel and Samson and Moses and Isaac and Abraham, all these people of faith. I imagine it's like we're down here on earth and they're up in the stands cheering for us. Come on, go! Since we're surrounded by this these wonderful people of faith, let us be encouraged to give our best. Be willing to give our very best. Let us run with race the endurance that's set for us. He uses the metaphor of a race. And in a race, endurance is everything, if it's a long race. Pace is everything. I have not ever been a long-term runner. I ran when I was a kid, and then I started running again when I was older because my kids were running, and I wanted to participate with them, and we did these little turkey trots and shamrock runs and whatever. Curtis calls them the little tiny races. What did you usually run? You like run these half marathons. Yeah, he runs these really long things. I remember running in one race, and Curtis ran up to me and said, hi, Dave, how are you? And I said, good. And he said, okay, see ya. Boom, away he goes. He very politely left me in the dust, which was okay. But pace is everything. It's in a Christian walk. It's not a sprint. When my kids were young, they did the community track program. And they had all the different events. For the parents, it was a marathon. You sat there. You know, and if your kid was in the first event and the very last event, then there was a million events. You sat there forever until it was over. But my son, Andrew, was in one of the foot races. I think he was... I don't know if it was the 400 meters or the 800 meters. I suspect it. But it was a bunch of little kids. Well, Andrew got out there, and he took off. And I thought, oh, no, don't do it, don't do it. And he did. He took off. He was just barely, and he got half the track ahead of these kids. He was way out in front. And then I thought, oh, it's going to happen. And I see him. He starts turning around looking at the pack behind him. And I thought, yep. He's running out, didn't pace himself, and he ran out, started to run out of gas, and all the other kids passed him. Yeah, and I think he came in last. Said, Andrew, I hope you learned a lesson. You're a good runner, but pace is everything. It's not a sprint. My brother Jim was a marathoner, half marathoner, and what a runner he was. In his younger days, he was a sprinter. Tremendously fast. And in his older age, because once you get out of high school, it's not physical activity, doesn't consist of running sprints. You know, there's races, long races. So he started running the longer races, and he'd run these half marathons and marathons, and he was always training. He ran 8-10 miles every day. Every day, religiously, everything. If it was pouring rain, he'd put his gear on. He just did it. But he knew how to pace himself, and he would run down in Texas. He would run these marathon or half marathons, and he would win them. Like, how do you, I mean, he wouldn't necessarily win the whole thing because he's racing against, you know, 20-year-olds and he was in his 60s or 70s. But he would win his age group and he would come in better with better times than some of the kids that ran it that were 25. And he has, you know, the mantle full of trophies, like, I hate you, why, stop. But he knew about pace. He was always talking to me about, you know, I pace myself so that I'm going at the right speed for this mile, for this mile. He knew where he was. He had his little rituals. He'd take a drink at this particular time, and he'd eat a piece of something as he was going. And he just understood how to endure. The key word in this verse is endurance. Let us run with endurance. The Greek there, literally it means to remain under, with the idea of remaining under pressure. Continue to run through. Keep going, to endure. Running the race in enduring is enduring what you need to endure along the way is staying under. And in the Christian walk, if we're going to make it, it's important for us to run with endurance, to pace ourselves, and to keep going no matter what. No matter what. And what that means is sometimes it's going to be a nice sunny day, and you get to run on flat ground, or maybe if you're lucky, you get to run downhill. And then there's the other days where the weather's really rotten, you got to run uphill. Have you had those days where life is tough, where you go through difficulties, hard times, and you have to be able to keep running, running with endurance, staying under, not jumping out, not quitting too soon, not giving up. For me, the races I'd run, and I only ran like 5Ks, the little tiny races, when I run them, after about the first mile or mile and a half or the first hill, my body starts talking to me. It says, stop running! Stop! Just don't do it anymore. So to run the race, it says that we need to throw off something if we're going to be able to run with endurance. We need to throw off some stuff. We're called to throw off every hindrance, every weight that slows you down, every encumbrance. And it's interesting. He tells us to throw off every encumbrance, and then he talks about sin. Notice that he talks about the weight or the encumbrance and sin. They're not the same thing. Notice that encumbrances are mentioned separately from sin. An encumbrance is not necessarily sinful. But it keeps you from running with endurance. It doesn't have to be sinful to weigh you down, to keep you down, to keep you from not doing your best. You know, you go to these races, and some of the kids they show up with a backpack, and they've got a bottle in there in case they get thirsty, and they've got a snack, and they've got their iPad or their cell phone in case they get bored. You know, unnecessary stuff. Encumbrances and weights may not be sinful, but they may tie you up and slow you down or distract you. And the Lord has really spoken something to me. And when I share my personal the things that the Lord speaks to me, I want you to understand that this is what God spoke to me. It may not be what God's speaking to you. So I am not being legislative when I talk about these things. I'm not telling you, well, this is what we all need to... You see, the problem is when God moves and when he speaks to somebody, what we want to do is make a formula out of it. So that, oh, this is how God did it, so... And now, if you do it, A plus B will always equal C. It doesn't always do that. It doesn't always work that way. But the Lord spoke to me. One thing that I do a lot is I'm online a lot. And I used to spend time on Facebook. And I'd spend time on Facebook discovering that that's where I found out when some of my relatives' birthdays were. I mean, I know my immediate family, I'm good, but But, oh, it's really, really helpful when those things pop up. Or friends. Or sometimes I find out information about people. I just found out about a fairly, not super close relative that passed away early in January, and I didn't even know it. And I would go on, but that can end up absorbing a lot of my time. And the other day I went on, and somebody had sent me a link, and it was something that I wanted to read about. It was Tom Brazel. I wanted to find out about his trip, where he was. But then I scrolled down a little farther, and there was this little video, and I clicked on it. That was a mistake. Well, I saw this little video, and then there was another video. And I went to the next video. Only the next video was trash. It was, I don't want to tell you what it was. It was trash. And I'm like, ugh. Well, instead of clicking out, I clicked to the next one. There was something about some dog jumping on a cat or, you know, and these silly videos that you see. Okay, I went to another one, and it was more trash. And then I looked. I happened to be at school. I was eating my lunch, and I looked at the clock, and the Lord spoke to me and said, this is an encumbrance. This is a weight. And I said, but God, no, this is a weight. He said, you cast off this weight. Get rid of it. You don't need it. But what about you don't need it? Cast it off. I spend tons of time at school on YouTube because there's so many good educational videos. There's all kinds of things in music class that I use. We have rhythm play-alongs. The kids learn to read rhythms. They learn to read notes. We have different games we play. It's awesome. But then there's this little sidebar. And they have tantalizing little things over there. And the other day I was looking at some of the activities that my students do, and there was something, and I clicked on one, and then it wants to take you to another, and another, and then I went to one, and lo and behold, it was trash again. It was evil. It was evil. I was researching something, and I got this trashy video. The Lord said, that is an encumbrance. Cut it out of your life. So I went to my wife and I said, guess what? I am not doing Facebook and I am not doing YouTube. I don't need time for those in my life. They are something that's going to just take from me and give nothing back. They were a weight. I don't know. What can be a weight in your life? What God has to speak that to you. What is it that's a weight? What's a thing that's okay, but it's really not helping you, that it's not helping you in your walk? For some people, the guilt of their past that they hang on to is a weight. They have to get rid of it. The old man, you know, the old identity, past experiences. For some people, other people can be a weight. There are some people in my life that I have had to build a boundary on. You can come this far and no farther, because if they get in, it's a problem. Boundaries are important. Understanding where those need to be. Casting off all of that stuff. I don't mean to be rude. Some people, their weight can be a weight. You know, I'm just amazed today. There is a whole trend in young people that it's really cool to be fat. I mean, really, really fat. And if you say something about it, they say, oh, you're fat shaming me. Oh, my gosh. No, I'm not fat shaming you. I don't want you to die of a cardiac arrest at 24 years old. What are you thinking? Possessions, hobbies can be okay, or they can be a weight. They're not necessarily sinful or bad, but they can be encumbering. So that's something that the Holy Spirit has to just kind of speak to you and minister to you. But where are the weights in your life? You know why I'm saying that? Because we all have weights. I have weights. I told you some of mine. I probably have more. But what's keeping you, what pulls at you and tries to keep you from running? What's distracting? What's the thing that takes your mind away and takes your focus? What is it? What is it that you can throw off and get rid of? And then it says, and the sin that so easily entangles. The sin that so easily entangles, that trips us up. Oh, you know, I had another scripture, and I really wanted to look at that. Philippians 3, 13 and 14. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, and I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind. That means, that's another word for throw off your encumbrances. Forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize of God's heavenly calling in Christ Jesus. So instead of looking back, Paul is saying, run with perseverance because you look at the prize. Look at what's ahead. Look what you're running toward, not everything else that's around you that can be an encumbrance. The sin that so easily entangles us. That's an interesting word in the Greek. It's the Greek euparsistatos. Euparsistatos. And what that literally means is to be encircled. When it talks about entangled, it means surrounded or encircled. Does that give you more of a picture of the idea of impeding you from moving forward? That's what sin wants to do. Sin wants to get in your way. It wants to sideline you. It wants to distract you so that instead of focusing on the prize, you're looking at something else. The Thayer, in his Greek lexicon, he says it's to prevent or slow down running. So important. Ephesians, oh, I didn't go to 1 Corinthians 9. Well, we'll come back to that in just a minute. Ephesians 4, 22 through 24, to put off your former way of life, your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be renewed in the spirit of your minds and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. You know, the new self is a runner. Did you know that you're a runner? It's like, oh man, Pastor Dave, I am not a runner. But we're all running this Christian race. And we have to get rid of this sin that wants to entangle us. I want to go back to 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way as to take the prize. Everyone who competes in the games trains with strict discipline. They do it for a crown that is perishable, but we do it for a crown that is imperishable. Therefore, I do not run aimlessly. I do not fight like I am beating the air. No, I discipline my body and make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified. In other words, in my life, I have to make decisions. I'm not going to eat this. I'm not going to watch that. I'm not going to go here. I'm not going to, you know, one of the big things, I have always in my life wanted to get up really early and pray. Well, getting up early and praying is not the problem. Going to bed the night before at a decent hour is the problem. And I can't, you know, in the evening, all of a sudden, I got stuff. Wait, I want to do this. I want to do that. I want to see this. I want to do that. Oh, watch one more TV show. I've had to discipline myself. And I'm not always very successful. I'm still working at it. Discipline myself to shut it off and go to bed so that I can get up and have my time with him in the morning. That's a discipline. Oh, my goodness. Paul says, I discipline my body. Some of the versions say, I beat my body. I bring it into submission. I make it. and make it my slave so that after I've preached to others, I won't be disqualified telling everybody else what to do and I don't do it. It's called being a hypocrite. Oh man, casting off stuff. Every distraction at night that keeps me from getting in that bed and shutting my eyes so that I can get up in the morning and have the time that I need in the quiet before the day starts and I can hear His voice. But it starts, it means I have to cast off a weight. I've got to be disciplined and not let that sin grab onto me. Remember that this is referring to the cloud of witnesses. What made them the cloud of witnesses? They're the hall of faith. They didn't submit to the unbelief of their time. It says they persevered through. It talks about the things they persevered through in faith. They didn't allow unbelief into their hearts and lives. Hebrews 3:18 and 19, and to whom did He swear that they would never enter into His rest? It was talking about Israel not believing Him. Was it not to those who disobeyed? So we see that it was because of their unbelief that they were unable to enter. One of the great sins to cast off in our run of perseverance is unbelief. Unbelief. Get rid of the unbelief. I have to get rid of the unbelief every week when I know I've got a sermon to prepare and I don't have anything yet. And I got to get rid of that nagging fear in my gut, because that what unbelief will do is it'll foster fear and it'll choke out your faith. You got to be able to believe that God is faithful. He is going to provide. We sang today, the goodness of God, Your goodness is running after me. All my life You've been faithful. We sing those. Are we walking in it? Do we believe it? Especially when things get difficult. Cast off that unbelief. It'll choke out your faith. It'll leave you in a state of fear. Fear feeds off of unbelief. The great feed of unbelief is fear. What you can just feed that in, and it'll slow you down, stop you, pull you down. Hebrews 1:25 through 26, by faith Moses, when he was grown, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to suffer oppression with God's people rather than to experience the fleeting enjoyment of sin. Do you see why he was able to persevere? Because he was willing to walk through what he had to walk through with God's people instead of enjoying the fleeting pleasure of sin. He valued disgrace for Christ above the treasures of Egypt. Why? For he was looking ahead. He was looking ahead to his reward. What he was looking at was what made the difference. If we remember back in... saw Him who is invisible. If we look back at Hebrews, that very first scripture, Back in the beginning in Hebrews, verse 2, it says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. The reason that Moses was able to persevere through all he did and suffer the oppression of his people in Egypt was because he had his eye on the reward. And we're called to fix our eyes on Jesus. Jesus is our example. He fixed his eyes on the prize. It says, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. The reason that Jesus was able to persevere was because he did not look at the cross. He looked beyond the cross. He looked beyond the suffering to the joy, to the reward, and he was able to persevere. Thank God he did. You know, I had a time in my earlier Christian walk where I was struggling with an area of sin. And I'm not going to talk about what it was, but I had a struggle. And as is with lots of things like that, you know, you struggle with it, and you fight it, and then you cave in, you do it. You feel bad, you repent, you feel guilty, you say, never do it again, and then you do it again. You confess it, you repent, and then it comes around, and you do it again. And there's this awful cycle. Have you ever felt that cycle? I've walked in that cycle, and you know, I just was in that cycle of sin and confess and repent and sin, and finally one day I just decided, you know what? I'm not getting anywhere. I'm getting off this hamster wheel, and I decided to walk in Galatians. I hope I can get there now. Oh, jumping ahead. I decided that I needed to commit myself to act on Galatians 5:16. So I say, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. I needed to put off that sin that was entangling me. I needed to get rid of it. And the way to do it was to fix my eyes on Jesus. So I said, okay, enough of this. What I'm going to do is I am going to fix my eyes on Christ. I said, I am going to get up every single morning. I am going to get into the Word. I am going to read the Scriptures. And I'm going to have my prayer time. And I'm going to spend that time with Him. And I discovered that I had been very spotty. I hadn't been very consistent. And so I began to get up. I was reading the Word. I was praying. And after about a week, I noticed, you know what? I'm not having a problem with that area in my life anymore. I don't even feel attracted to it. And as I fixed my eyes on Jesus, it began to fall off. It began to go, and I didn't have a struggle with it anymore. It wasn't even it wasn't the horrible battle anymore. But I also noticed that if I got a little sloppy, if I skipped my Bible reading for a day, I got busy and missed it, or you know, you go on vacation and you get a little lax with your disciplines or whatever, and I get away from it a little bit, all of a sudden I felt that temptation again. And I'm like, God, what is wrong? And I said, oh, I know what's wrong. See, the Lord is faithful to keep me on a really short leash, and I'm so grateful for it. Now, this is how God speaks to me. There's a lot of ways that God frees people from sin, but that is certainly one of the things. You fix your eyes on Jesus, fixing Him on Him. That's why Peter was able to walk on the water. He didn't look at the storm. He looked right at Jesus, and he walked to Him. And people give him a bad rap because, oh, he sank. Well, you know what? You might probably would have sank too. But he cried out, and Jesus helped him up, and Jesus and he walked back to the boat. Pretty cool. He did it. You know, and God is faithful to do that with you. He'll come, He'll rescue you, He'll pull you up, and then you see, Peter got to walk on the water back to the boat. That is a victory. It is a victory. People don't think about the return trip. All they talk about is, oh yeah, Peter sank, he got scared, huh? But he walked back. Glory to God. God is faithful. Let us cast off. Let us get rid of every weight and cast it off the sin that so easily entangles us and run with perseverance. Father, you know what that means for every person in this building today. That means something different. Because we all have our different battles, we all have our different weights, and we all have our different sins. But God, we all have stuff that we want to cast off. And Lord, as we fix our eyes on Jesus, Lord, you are the transforming God. You are the one that helps us. You are the liberator. You are the victor. And Father, as we fix our eyes upon you, the Spirit of God is able to work and transform our lives and deliver us from those things. Give us grace, Father. Lord, I pray that if there are things in our hearts and lives that we need to just shed off, just get rid of, that are just nothing but dead weight,
or if there are areas of sin that we've battled with, Father, help us to get rid of those entangling things that get us tangled up and impede our running so that we can't run the way we want to. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There is liberty, Father, and we just want to walk in that and run in that in the Spirit. Help us to run our race well, Father, so that we can say, like Paul did, he says, I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. I have run the race. Father, help us. We want to be able to run that race and get that prize, Lord. That day where we are where you could look at us and say, well done, good and faithful servant. Oh, we live for that, Father. Thank you, Father, for the grace to do it. Help us, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're here today and you would like to be prayed for, someone will be here to pray for you. We serve a miracle-working God, and I cannot tell you, we have seen miracles happen here in prayer. So if you're here today, someone will pray for you. Otherwise, God bless you. Make sure that you pick up a copy of the minutes, or the agenda, excuse me, and the reports out on the back table so that you'll know what's happening when it's time for that business meeting. And if you're interested in nominating somebody for a trustee or a deacon, the nomination can is on the back table in the back. Please remember that. Otherwise, God bless you. Have a great week. And if you want prayer, please come and someone will pray for you.